Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and the meditations of every heart in this place be acceptable in Thy sight. But when we leave this place, may it be more than acceptable. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 4 through 13. Hear now the Word of God. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries, and the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God, who produces all them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person, a word of knowledge to another according to the same Spirit, faith to still another by the same Spirit, gifts of healing to another in the one Spirit, performance of miracles to another, prophecy to another, the ability to tell spirits apart to another, different kinds of tongues to another, and the interpretation of the tongues to another. All these things are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what He wants to each person. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free, and we all were given one Spirit to drink. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. We now are in the fourth week of our series, New Wine for New Wineskins. We're going under the premise that we as a church are attempting to do something new in a new way that it requires of us to look at the things we do in a different way, to make sure that it falls under the umbrella of this vision. This vision that was established by understanding what we believe about God and who God is and what God wants of us as His children and as His followers. And so that those doctrinal footings determine where we hope to go, and what we're talking about over these 4 weeks has to do with how we accomplish it. Because these are the things that we will do to accomplish it. This vision will be used to help us make decisions, because we want to accomplish this vision. If we never do with anything with the vision and we never figure out how we're going to accomplish it, we will end up being wandering generalities. And so that's where we're starting. And it's going to require us all to stretch a little, because we will not be able to live by the old adage, we've never done it that way, or we've always done it that way. It causes us to stretch a little. But we do want to grow as Christians, don't we? Please say amen. I did it, Carlene. Carlene gave me a little thing, can I get an amen? And so I got one. Praise God. We all want to grow in our likeness of Jesus. We want to grow, and that's going to cause us to have to stretch a little. Thank you. It is. And so that's one of the things we're looking at. These four things are our cornerstones, action points, and we are talking, and I'm going to review them quickly. We, as the bedrock of those, is passionate worship and discipleship. It's about God and what God has done for us, and everything we do is a loving response to what God has already done in our life. Because God has done a lot of things in our life, praise God. And so we want to worship passionately because it's all about God. And becoming more about like Christ is a response to what God has done. We want to be more like Christ. Because what we know is this, what got us here will not get us there. And so there needs to be change. So the bedrock of these four cornerstones is passionate worship and discipleship, and they influence the others. And last week we looked at If we're going to attempt to become a loving community, the thing we've got to work on is being a loving community. So those involve radical hospitality and building a loving community. Okay? You see, I didn't start this. Y'all started it. In 1983 or 4, when you built this sanctuary, you were planning on 500 people being in here every Sunday. Weren't you? Weren't you? Was anybody here in 83 or 4? Didn't you want to fill this place up? So that means you were hoping to have either that many members or that many guests here every Sunday. Amen? And so if you didn't want that many people here, you should have built something smaller. It's not my fault you built it 500. We have to welcome the guests. We've made room for them. We've made room in some strange ways, but we made room for them. Some people left. Right? Some people died. But we have room for them, and we need to welcome them. We need to welcome the guests through radical hospitality. But we also need to make sure that we love one another, because we will not be able to welcome radically the guests if we don't love one another as members. And that's so important. It is truly that important. And so, today we're talking about serving for the greater good in ministry and mission. Strangely enough, it's not about you in this one either. Serving for the greater good. What is your motivation? What is your motivation at work? I was thinking about this past week. I was thinking of when I got out of college, and I had told my wife before I married her, if you're my wife, you will never have to work. 36 years and a month later, she was able to retire. You know, we say these things, and so my job was, you know, my motivation at the beginning of my career was, I need to make enough money to care for us, my family. I need to be able to pay my bills, and I need to work hard enough that I can keep a job. Sometimes that's as much as you want at one point. And sometimes you have to say get to the point where I want to be someone that they can count on, so that if there is a promotion or if they got a little money to give a little raise, I will be the one that they give the raise to. Amen? You want to do that. You want to have job security. That's your motivation. It's all about me. And that's the way we sometimes have to go through life if we want to succeed, isn't it? We have goals for our family and our life, and we work to accomplish those. But when we start thinking of kingdom responsibilities and motivations, the kingdom of God motivations, they have to change. They really do. The motivation becomes different, because if we're going to be like Christ, Christ said, I did not come into the world to be served, but to... That kind of changes everything, doesn't it? If we're going to be like Christ, it means that we didn't come here to be served, but to serve. It's so important that we serve, that we say that's one of the things we ask people when they join the church. Will you support this church with your prayers, presence, service, gifts, and witness? So we've all promised that if you are a member here, that you would serve for the greater good. It's not about me. I thought about, over the last several days when I was thinking about this, because I am so indebted to my parents. I am so grateful they made me go to church. I wasn't grateful when they were making me. I despised it. So often in my life, I despised having to go to church until I realized why they did. And now I look back and I think about this lady. She was the secretary of our church. But because my parents sang in the choir, I had to sit with Miss Kieran. She kept the nursery. And so most Sunday mornings I was in the nursery, and most Sunday nights I was in the nursery with Miss Kieran, and we were fed like luxury. We got 2 sugar cookies, you know, with the little ring, and 1 saltine cracker and water. But when I got to an age, she would bring us into church on Sunday night. And the thing that I remember is this lady would sit, she would let me sit next to her, and me being who I would go to sleep like some of you. But she would put her arm around me, and she would let me then put my head in her lap and sleep. She gave of herself week in and week out, being a servant, not because she wanted me sitting next to her, but for the greater good. And I think of her, and I think of Sunday school teachers who gave of their time, people who work with youth, people who gave of their time and made positive influences. It wasn't for their glory. They were paying back what other people had done for them. It's a wonderful thing when you give for the greater good. And when I think of all the people that touched my life along the way, I praise God for people who get what service means. You see, no matter how old we are, we can make a difference in the lives of people, not just in the generation that's right behind us, but we can make a difference in people who are 2 generations behind. Miss Kieran would have never thought in her wildest dreams when I was putting my head in her lap going to sleep that one day, 62 years later, I would be praising her name. You see, service and giving for others makes a difference in the life of the church. It will make eternal differences in the life of the church, because there are kids who will hate being at church. There are people who will not want to be here, but one day they will get it and they will be grateful for what you've done. It's so true. Giving to the greater good in service of ministry within the church. Powerful thing. But just as we have the responsibility to serve within the church, we have a responsibility to serve outside the church. We have a missions committee, and we do a variety of things trying to reach people outside the church. We do things where it only takes you 30 minutes, but we touch 2 entire elementary schools. It was a short touch. We didn't build a whole lot of relationship with those students, and we didn't build a whole lot of relationship with those teachers, but we made a difference. And they know that they can count on us. We do Family Promise, where 4 times a year, and we provide our facility, and we have an opportunity for 7 days, 4 times a year, to touch the hearts and lives of people going through transition, for them to see the love of Christ in their life. We have a bread ministry, where Cindy Gary goes and picks up bread from Panera and takes it to a homeless shelter downtown. Jen Mayer has the little bags where we have given, and Vacation Bible School gave, and where you can pick up bags in the office reception area. And when you're going downtown and you see a homeless person on the side of the street that needs something, it's got some cool stuff in there to give them. It makes a touch in the life of other people. But not only do we call to do ministry or mission in the community, as we think of missions, we also have a responsibility to our community to be involved, to make a difference, to serve on boards, to be connected in government, in the politics of life, to be involved in other places so that the light of Christ might be seen You'd be surprised the number of people that will know that you come here just by your presence in their meeting, or the way you give for whatever organization or sporting event or whatever. But we're called to make a difference, serving for the greater good in mission, because it makes a difference. I have a friend named Bob Moore. He lives over in Montgomery or near Montgomery. Years ago, he was going through a divorce. And I don't know if you know this. I hope you never learned this. But sometimes when you get a divorce, somebody gets the church. And in his case, his wife got the church. They went to the church where she grew up. And so he had to find a new church, and he had some friends that said, come to Frazier Memorial with us, John Ed Matheson. He's there. And so he got plugged in, and he went. And he ended up joining the church, and there they had a requirement. Every member in ministry. And so the lady who was in charge of assimilation wanted to know, what are you doing? What do you do for a living? What are your gifts? And he said, well, I'm a businessman. I have a nursery. I might could help if you need plants replaced around the church. I can provide you with plant material and that sort of stuff. But whatever you need me, I'll be glad to serve. And she said, well, the place I need you more than anywhere is on the second Sunday of the month when we have the breakfast for the whole church. I don't know how many people they fed, because the membership at one time was 8,000 members. So they had a lot of people that eat breakfast on the second Sunday of the month. We need somebody to make grits. He said, I'll make grits. And so every second Sunday he showed up at 6:30 in the morning to make grits, because it wasn't about him. And so I said, Bob, well, how many grits did you make? He said, well, let me just say this. We used to stir it with a boat paddle. And that was the way that this man, a businessman, a successful businessman, gave back to the greater good of his community. He understood it wasn't about him. And in the course of making grits every Sunday or once a month, he was an encouragement to those around him. Not only to those he worked with, but the people who worked for him. You see, that's what we're called to do, and that's the people we're called to be. When Paul wrote his letter to the church at Rome, he'd never been there. And this is what he wanted for the people of Rome. And I think that this is what we want for each other. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. When we all commit to serve the greater good in serving in ministry and mission, we can be encouraged by each other's gifts. I don't know your spiritual gifts, but you have them. And God wants you to use them. May we all be dedicated to using them for the greater good. Let us pray. Lord God, we are thankful for your gifts. Every gift. We are thankful for those who have chosen to use those gifts in our lives to help us be the people we are. And so may, as we have been blessed by others, may we also be a blessing. And may we all be encouraged by each other as we use those gifts. We ask this in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.